Thank the Lord, Mai, for being with you, and we have a message about the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord for His Holy Spirit. I love that song we just sang. It's one of my favorites. I just feel like you're inviting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that it would probably be a good thing for us in services that we have to always invite the Holy Spirit, whether verbally or in our heart, because we need the Holy Spirit. And I thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit and all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, what He does for us. I'd like to start reading in St. John 14. And first we want to say about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the Trinity of the Godhead. So, you know, we thank Jesus for dying on the cross. We thank Father God for sending Jesus. And we thank Jesus for saying in Acts 1 when He was going back to heaven, I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And you know, we really need the Holy Spirit in our lives to give us that comfort.
Yes.
And the leading and that we need. St. John 14, 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I thank the Lord for the attribute of the Holy Spirit to give us comfort. And He is the Spirit of truth. He teaches His true ways. He teaches the way to go. He said, you'll hear a word behind you when you might turn to the right or left, that this is the way, walk in. He teaches us how to walk and which way to go. I thank the Lord for that. And St. John 16 and 17, I just read that. And then I want to read some attributes that I had wrote down. And if you think of anything else later, you can share that too. I've tried to cover everything I could think of. The one is the comforter. God, the Holy Spirit is such a comfort. You know, in life, we go through some hard things sometimes, and we really need comfort. And the Holy Spirit gives us that comfort we need. He's with us always, and He gives us comfort. He is the Spirit of truth. There's so many false ways today in this world, but the Holy Ghost leads us to the truth. I remember when I was first saved, I was not raised with the saints, and there were some things I was taught in the Bible that was not correct. But I remember opening the Bible and asking the Lord, open my eyes and help me to understand the truth, the true way. And He revealed verse by verse to me and exactly what it meant. The Holy Spirit will lead us in the true way. There's many false ways, but the Holy Spirit will lead us in the true way. So He is the Spirit of truth. He also will teach you. He will teach you many things. You know, we can be taught by man or woman, a minister can teach something, but we still need a deeper teaching that the Holy Ghost will take the message or the Word of God and reveal things to us and talk to us. And you know, and a message, there it can go in different directions to people's hearts. You may need one thing and someone else may need something else. But the Holy Ghost rightly divides the Word of truth into our hearts and gives us that portion that we need. He is a teacher. He teaches us. The Spirit also brings remembrance of God's Word to us. And He will bring the remembrance of songs to us. I think about the scripture that says, He brought me a song in the night.
Yeah.
Has it ever happened to you where you felt that song in the night that I remember I was talking to a sister, she's not here, but a sister that told me that's exactly what she needed when she had grief in her life, that the Lord brought her a special song in the night. And so He does that. It's amazing how He'll, you know, I remember during the ministers meeting, one of the ministers said, when the Lord talks to you, which I want to do that. Sometimes you might be driving, and if you could push a recorder on your phone and record that song, because sometimes later it was a song I heard years ago and I forgot it later. And if I'd have wrote it down or had a recording, I could remember what the Holy Ghost was teaching me, what the Holy Ghost brings remembrance to us of God's word. He gives us peace. He gives us peace that the world cannot understand. Peace in the time of trouble. Peace when we just don't have peace around us. The Holy Ghost will give us such peace and calmness of spirit when other things around us can be so, you know, hard to deal with maybe, but you have such peace in your soul. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace, and He wants peace among us. That's why He wants unity among us. That's what He is. And so we thank the Lord for that. And then He's a counselor. The Holy Spirit counsels us. He teaches us. You know, we can have many counselors, but the Holy Spirit will be the best counselor that we could ever have. You know, in our lives, sometimes things come up that we don't know which way to go. We don't maybe understand completely. And we need God's guidance. And we ask the Lord, Lord, will you be my counselor? Holy Spirit, will you talk to me? We can do that. Holy Spirit, will you guide me? Will you be my counselor in this? Show me what to do. And the Lord will do that through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our friend, our dearest friend. Jesus, our dearest friend. The whole Godhead is our friend. And so the Holy Spirit is our friend. He's helping us to get to heaven. Jesus left the Holy Spirit for us. And remember when He said, I cannot give it to you unless I go to my Father, but I will send you a comforter. And that's over in, and I might read a little bit of that over in Acts 1. It says here, and be assembled together in the fourth verse with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not made many days hence. And it goes on to say in the eighth verse, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went out, behold, two men stood by them, him in white apparel. But the Lord was telling them, I'm going to give you power to live a holy life. I'm going to give you power to reign and through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us to pray. Over here in Romans, sometimes our humanity, we just really don't know exactly how to put it into words. But the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. And I just thank the Lord for that. And yes. Over here in Romans 8, it says in the 26th verse, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And our infirmities is, we're in the flesh, but we're not of the flesh. It says, we are in the flesh, but He commands us to walk in the Spirit. And so our infirmities is our own thinking, our own fleshly thoughts, and we get down to pray about something, and maybe we don't know just how to pray and put it into words, and we start talking to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will help us to pray. He will teach us how to pray. And He gets us to pray, our prayers go through and go to God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And it says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, we might get down and start praying about something, but we need the Holy Spirit to teach us what is the will of God. It might not be what you're thinking, and God talks to you, and the Holy Spirit will cause you to submit to the will of God. Yes. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit will teach us to pray. The Holy Spirit is a guide. Many times we need to be led. We need to be led in this life. We don't know sometimes which way to go. We're not sure. And so we need to be led by the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and teach us. And when I was studying this, what I want to say is we need the Holy Spirit. I hope that everyone in here is sanctified with the Holy Spirit. But if we're not, we need the Holy Spirit. We need to seek the Lord to give us this sweet spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the best friend to help you to make it to heaven. And we need that power. We need the Holy Spirit. So he is a guide. He protects us and warns us. Now, a couple of stories to tell you later. But he's a protector and warns us. How many times when we've heard that still small voice, don't go there or don't do that, and the Lord, we saw later that the Lord was warning us and protecting us. Listen to the inner voice. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's protecting us in life. And I know someone said that, you know, they said, well, you know, about divine healing. Divine healing is a privilege. And it's divine. It's not getting better because we ate the right food or we exercised. It's something divine that God did for us. Many times we've been healed. Many times you've been healed, I'm sure. And you know, it's divine. It's exactly what it says. It's divine. It's not because we took a lot of vitamin C, which that's good for us. I take it sometimes. But you know, it's not those things. It's divine. God don't need it. He don't need none of that. He wants us to take care of our bodies. That's another story, but a message. But the thing is, divine, God can intervene divinely and do anything. He can raise the dead if he wants to. So, you know, he's a God that can divinely heal us. And, you know, you look around, and I just want to encourage you tonight that, yes, some people do go on. But, Lord, you know, look at the saints. Look at, we have a lot of elderly saints. They're in their 80s. You know, in early 80s, and Sister Nina today, I was talking to her, she's 88, and still lives alone. And so, you know, these people have been healed many times, or they wouldn't be alive, of serious things. I've had serious things in my life that could have took my life, and God's healed me. So, you know, God is healing the saints. I just wanted to put that in there to encourage us. But, you know, he is a protector of our life. And he warns us. I don't know many times that God has protected us in car accidents and different things. And people have testified how the Lord has done different miracles. I remember Brother Marty was telling one time that he saw a semi coming. And he said that semi should have went right through his van. He said it didn't. It didn't. You don't know how that the semi, you know... It's just a miracle.
Yes.
It should have went right through his van and killed him, but it didn't.
Thank the Lord.
Now you say, well, what happened? Well, it's divine intervention. It's divine. You know, God can do anything. He can disappear your van for a little bit, or he can cause, you know, I don't know how it does, but God can do anything. So God is such a wonderful God to serve. I mean, he's watching over us all the time when we're traveling. Do you know he's preparing and watching over us? We pray for protection in the front of the car, the back of the car, and the sides of the car. We should pray that way because the Holy Spirit and God is watching over us and protecting us. He's a protector. He warns us. And I know I've heard some saints even say that, you know, the Lord has warned them to stop and slow down. And I believe one of my grandchildren told me that. I don't want to embarrass them, but they were saying... They were driving along, and they just felt the Lord tell them, slow down right now. Just stop almost. And they did, and then a vehicle came that would have hit them, if I got it right. But, you know, that's the way God is. He warns us. He's a warner, a protector. He lifts us up. How many times we need to lift up our head? How many times we need to be encouraged? And the Lord lifts us up. He gives us something through the Holy Spirit. Will just lift us up. He's a lifter up of our heads. He wants us to be encouraged. He wants us to press on. He wants us to make it to heaven. And so he lifts us up. And I thank the Lord. And he helps us. He's a great helper. That's the 13th one I wrote, help. He helps us so much. I can't even explain like I want to in my flesh here, but I know you understand what I mean, that the Holy Spirit helps us. He is a great helper. We need help. You know, we just do. We really need help. And sometimes we don't even know how much help we do need. But God even knows the things in our hearts that we don't even understand spiritually that we need help in. He knows me. He knows all of us. He knows what we need help in. And he will feed our soul some way. If we're desiring to go to heaven and do the best we can, he will talk to us and help us. And he will bless us. And then 14, power. He gives us so much power not to do unseemly things, but he gives us power to live a holy life. That's what the power is about. It's not, we get emotions. That's wonderful to get emotions. But many times we have to go on by faith and we might feel anything. But we just keep living for the Lord and keep praying and, like the song, watching and praying and doing what we should do. We don't feel anything. But that doesn't mean you're not saved just because you don't feel it. Don't ever, you know you're saved because you're living for God and you're doing your very best. And you know you're saved. And so there, Holy Spirit gives us power to live a holy life. The Holy Spirit helps us to bear fruit, good, righteous fruit. I think on the verse here that I had about fruit. But anyway, there's a righteous, God gives us righteous fruit. And you know, there could be like the tree will be known by its fruit. I think it's St. Luke 6. I'm not, that the tree is known by its fruit. And you know, we can't really have the fruit that God really wants us to have without the Holy Spirit helping us. So if this is right, I've got down here 6, St. Luke 6 and 43. It says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. You know, if you're a good tree, in other words, He's like unto man as a tree. If you have you're a good tree, you cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring any corrupt fruit. The Holy Spirit doesn't get mad and throw temper tantrums or whatever could happen, just ugliness and meanness and all that. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears good fruit. It cannot bear corrupt fruit. The Holy Spirit cannot stand evil. Have you ever been like somewhere in a town that's wicked? And you might just be driving through the town, but your spirit, you can hardly stand to look at the evil around you. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't like evil. The Holy Spirit abhors evil. And so when you have the Holy Spirit, you don't like evil. You don't like it. You don't really want to be around it. You don't even want to hear about it, really. And sometimes you have to pray. But all in all, when you have a tree that's good, like the Lord wants you to have, you want the good things. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You know, a person that's not saved, they might be morally good, but they cannot bring forth the fruit that a saint of God does. They can't. Because somewhere they'll slip up. Somewhere the evil will show. The bad manners. The corruptness out of their mouth. Something will show up because they can't. They can't live a holy life without God and the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. You have to have Jesus' blood. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be all what God wants you to be. And that's called full salvation. That's what we need. Full salvation. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You know, like again, it's likened unto us, it's like a house. We're building a house for the Lord. And this house has got to have a good foundation. And that means we get to be saved and sanctified. We have to have full salvation. We can't just get saved and not go on and get the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to make it to heaven. We need it. We need that full salvation. Get saved, get baptized, get sanctified, build on the rock. Get the full salvation. That's what the Lord wants us to have. All these things I read about the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. The Holy Spirit also gives conviction. You know, we pray for conviction in the meeting. It comes through the Holy Spirit. The minister can do what they can do. The songs can do what the best we can sing. We can sing pretty specials. We can be blessed in many ways. But saints, for the Holy Spirit to really deal with hearts, to get conviction, to come to the altar and pray, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to give conviction. It comes through the Holy Spirit. I know a sister, she's gone now, but years and years ago, she was telling me, but I won't mention her name because maybe, but she told me her husband never got saved. But she said in one of the meetings, he was under such conviction, he held onto the back of one of the pews and just shook. He shook, and she tried to get him to yield, but he wouldn't yield to the Holy Spirit. He went home, and it wasn't long after he died. Isn't that sad?
Yes, it is.
But it's because we must be tender toward the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit talks to us, we must listen and yield. And you know, there's a saying that I want more of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's like Jesus is Jesus. God is God. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. It's not like we get more of the Holy Spirit, but we yield and it produces more fruit because we yield to the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord wants us to yield to him more and more, that our fruit may be better. We don't want to get discouraged about ourselves, but we want to grow in grace. We want to grow. And we need the Holy Spirit so we can grow. And so we need conviction. Jesus gave his blood. The Father gave his Son. Then he gave the Holy Spirit. If we only get saved, we are not enjoying the Holy Spirit, the second work of grace, and we do not have full salvation, we need more. And I want to read over here in Matthew a little bit about Peter walking on the water. And it says in the 23rd verse of 14th chapter, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And I don't know of any other one I've ever heard of, but Jesus walking on the water and Peter. Now, if you tell me, I don't know, I haven't. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." We have a song. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. What are we trying to bring out here is Jesus was walking on the water. And when Peter wanted to go to him, he was able to walk on the water only because of Jesus. Dear ones, that's just like us. On the spiritual waters of life, we can only walk on those waters if we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit helping us. We cannot do it on our own. We need to cry out to God. Cry out to Him. In your secret closets of prayer, cry out, I want the Holy Spirit in my life in a greater way. I want to yield to you, Lord. I want to yield to you that I can walk in the Spirit, that I can be more what you want me to be. And cry out to God in your secret closets of prayer. I want to go towards you. And I heard one time, you know, people go after different things in life. They go after this or they go after that. But God wants us to go after Him. Go after Him. Go after the Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know how much time we got left, but Lord, help me to go after You in a great way and live for You and be the best I can be. I wrote down something here I read. It really helped me. It said, it is not enough that we do good. We must do it well. You know, there's a difference of just doing something good. Being good is wonderful. I'm glad we're good people. I'm glad that we all are good. But you know, the Lord has inspired me that we can do well. Not just good, not just getting by. You know, if that's the kind of religion we have, we just want to get by. We're not getting the full salvation. We're not getting the enjoyment out of it. We're not getting all that God wants us to have. You know, we're not getting the true sweetness out of living for God like we would if we were full of the Holy Spirit and living for Him and seeking Him. We can get more happiness about being a Christian than just going along and maybe we'll go to heaven, but maybe we won't get all the joy we could have, you know, as we're going along. And maybe our meetings would be better. Maybe, you know, we could help more people if we all would just get full of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit in our lives and living for God every day and doing it well, doing the very best we can and asking God, help me to overcome my flesh. Help me, even saved and sanctified people, help me to be better, Lord. Help me to overcome my flesh and help me to be what you want me to be everywhere. You know, God can help us. So that thought I wrote down, it is not enough that we do good. We must do it well. I want to go back to, now if you think of anything else that the Holy Spirit, I know a conviction, and also I want to bring out about one Spirit. One Spirit. Before I do that, that's another attribute of the Holy Spirit. He brings unity.
Yes, He does.
Because we all have the same Spirit, we connect. You know, we connect and we stay together because of the love of God, because of the Holy Spirit working in all of us, causes us. He's a promoter of unity. He's not a promoter of division. So when the enemy comes with any thoughts like that, we know that's the devil. Because he is a promoter of love. God is love. God is love. He's nothing else. He's love, and he's a unifier. He wants us to have unity and love. And he works in our hearts that way. And before I go to that, I wanted to bring out about the danger, how God warns us from danger. There was two stories, and if I'm sure that Rhonda would mind me mentioning her. So sometimes the Lord told her one time of a danger because she takes the trash out late at night. And this is something that she does weekly for months, weeks and weeks and months and years. I mean, she's been doing this, you know. But that night, as she walked into the garage, if I got it just right, the Lord told her, don't go out there. Don't go outside. Because they have, where she lives on a cul-de-sac, she has to walk quite a ways, like a couple blocks or so, to put her can out where they put them out. Quite a ways. It's not like she's going out at night and just to her driveway. She walks quite a ways. And the Lord spoke to her and said, don't go out there. Well, she thought that was strange because she's always done it, you know, for a long time. But she listened to God's voice and went on to bed. And she thought, well, I'll listen. And that, about maybe an hour or so, I don't know, just when police knocked on their door and said robbers were out there, broke into the neighbor's truck, broke into another vehicle, I think. I don't know exactly. But here, God had warned her through the Holy Spirit. See, he's a protector to warn. And then I thought of a story, and I know there's others, and you could probably tell, maybe give you a testimony for Wednesday night. But anyway, I was out cleaning several years ago. I was cleaning under the bushes, and I don't think I had gloves on. I was pulling the leaves out, and I was just trying to clean up the bushes in our backyard at the other house. And I started to go back in with my hand, and God said, don't put your hand in there. And the Holy Spirit said, don't. And I thought, why? But I just kind of backed up, and I didn't do it. Right after that, a snake came out, and Jerry said it was a copperhead. And I never killed a snake, but I went in and got something, and I thought, I've got to kill the snake because he's not home. I've got to kill it. So I did with this tool, but it was really scary for me. But anyway, I had to kill it because it could still be there and bite us. So you know what I'm trying to say is God warns us through the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you tonight how wonderful the Spirit is. How wonderful when the saints teach, you know, that we need the second work of grace. We need the Holy Spirit. This is why all these attributes come from the Holy Ghost. And Lord willing, the last one I want to talk about is the oneness of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, he gives gifts to the church, and that comes through the Holy Spirit. So if we don't have the special gift that God wants us, it could be that we need sanctification. We need the Holy Spirit, and he'll give you a gift. And so it says here in 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, there's diversities of personalities. There's diversities of works among us. But it all comes through the Holy Spirit. It's just, they're different. There are differences of ministrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. That's what it's for, to profit the saints. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Have you ever known among us a minister that had a lot of wisdom? And you could talk to them, and they just had a lot of wisdom and teaching that they could help you. And then another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And that's one thing I forgot to write down. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment. We need discernment, saints. We need to discern what spirit we're working with. There, you know, it says people can come in sheep's and wolf's clothing. They can come among us, you know, and we need to know if that spirit is not right. We need to have discernment how to deal with it. And so, to another, diverse kinds of tongues. And this tongue is a language. That's another lesson, but I remember Opal Kelly, she was called to Mexico, and she told me how that she if you, those who know Sister Opal Kelly, she's the one who helped with the Blue Book, and Sister Souders. And she said God gave her Spanish language. She said when she started working with the Mexicans, she did not know that language. And she prayed to God to give her, easily learned it. And God gave her the gift of tongues, this language. And so, but all of this worketh with the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have made all man made to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now had God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet they're still one body. And I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. But anyway, just the thought is, and it goes on to say in the 27th verse, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I want to say that the Lord just blessed my heart in the ministers' meeting. I didn't get to talk to everyone because there's so many, you know, in our time and the schedule, but it done something for me. It made me appreciate more and more our ministers. I'm so thankful. And some wore their hearts and was able to teach, and you could hear some of their life stories. It touched my heart. The consecrations they made. The sacrifices, and not that they were trying to glorify themselves, they were trying to teach. But it just made me, I don't know, it just, I thought we had a wonderful ministers' meeting. It just united, we felt unity and love, and it was wonderful. It was good. And I just thank the Lord for that. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I'm just thankful tonight that the Lord has the church upon his shoulder, and that he's working with us. And if we will seek the Lord, I don't know if there's anyone here that don't feel like they have the Holy Spirit, but if you don't think you do, ask the Lord to give it to you. And it's not something that you have to really understand a whole lot about, except you understand that it is a gift from God. And all you have to do is say, Lord, this is a gift that I want. I want the Holy, I want more power in my life to live a holy life. I want more victory in my life. And I know I need the Holy Spirit. Pray for me.